Welcome back to Leatherheads Footy. My name is Morgan. On this episode, I've got an Essendon Bombers early preview for 2023, looking at their best 24 players coming into next year post the trade period. Let's jump in. Starting in the back pocket, I've got Mason Redman. He really accelerated his career this season, 2022, moving into that key distributor off halfback. He offers plenty of run, can run and carry the ball, and he's a beautiful kick. He's also really strong overhead. 187 centimetres, so he's not tall, but he can still take a good defensive mark. And as I mentioned, really good user of the footy. So the Bombers want the ball in his hands. Probably took over from Ridley a little bit. Ridley was that chief distributor, but with Redmond having that role, it probably gives Ridley a bit more license to be defensive, focus on his opponent, and he can intercept the ball, which is his strength, and then potentially give the ball up off to Redmond, and Redmond can be the one that really uses it off half back. Moving on to Ridley then, naturally, a guy I think is probably Essendon's best player. Really, really strong. Plays a very similar role to Tom Stewart. He's not just a big guy who can take a mark but then doesn't know what to do with the footy. He's got really good foot skills, and he's still filling out. When he gets to probably 100 kilos, which he'll get close to at his height, he's going to be able to play on those really big key forwards, but also be able to be agile at ground level. He's a smart player. He's really composed as well, so he offers a lot as a defender. Probably the first one picked. Fullback, this is where I had a lot of trouble, was with the key defenders, because Essendon have got a couple of guys. They've got a couple of young guys coming through that probably aren't quite ready, but they need experience at AFL level if they're going to develop properly. And they've got a couple of older guys who held down the positions relatively well, but probably aren't going to be in Essendon's next premiership team or even finals team. I ended up settling on Laverde. I think he was pretty impressive. A guy that moved into defence from playing forward, still relatively young and learning the position, but he's a really good competitor. A little bit undersized, but he led in Essendon for intercepts as far as key position defenders go. I think it was a pretty strong season. A little bit undersized, though, so probably will be overrun by those really big forwards. Jake Kelly came across from the Crows at the start of this year and is just a really solid team player. He never does anything flashy, plays within his limits, takes a safe option, which is probably best given he's not a beautiful kick of the footy by any means, but can play talls and smalls. Not overly quick either, but just a dedicated player who sticks to his man and doesn't make easy mistakes, to put it that way. Zach Reid, he's one of these young developing key defenders. Along with Zerk Thatcher, I think they're probably more of the future. I've left out James Stewart, who was admirable in the way that he played, but I don't think he has the talent to be in a premiership backline as a key defender. I think he was just probably the only guy that was available to play that position. You need a sort of 195, 200 centimetre key defender to lock down the big forwards. I think Reid can be that guy. At the moment, his contested aerial stuff isn't really strong because he's just a light frame. 90 kilos at 200 centimetres, he's well undersized from a weight perspective, but he's got that height. 202 centimetres is a massive key defender. Like he's about the same size as Harris Andrews, could develop into a really similar player. He's already really clean at ground level. He's good with his tackling, good with his handballing, and he's agile, but as I mentioned, probably needs to improve his aerial competitiveness and aerial contest work. And then Heppel, the one thing that this Essendon backline lacks at the moment is pace, and that's where I think someone like a Hind or even D'Ambrosio, who I really, really like, but I'm just not sure whether the coaching staff will have faith in him early. They need someone that can play on a really lively small forward, and they don't have that at the moment in this 22. So if Heppel wasn't the captain, I would actually have Hind in the team, but you're not going to leave out your captain. Be interesting to see how the leadership group shapes up, but you'd think Heppel, with his experience, will just get a place in the team, and then that's why I'm leaning towards Hind on the bench, because he can play on those lively forwards. Heppel just offers that composure. Another guy who sort of plays within his limitations, he's just a really solid player and offers that leadership, but not a game breaker, whereas Hind can actually break the lines with his pace, and he's a good kick. Not sure why he falls out of favour in the team, but he doesn't seem to be a guy that's trusted week in, week out. We'll see what happens when Brad Scott comes into the team. And then the eighth defender I've got here, potentially missing out on the team, is Zerk Thatcher, who, a bit like Reid, but probably further into his progression, even though he isn't progressing as quickly. It looks like he could be a good key defender moving forward. Another guy that just hasn't quite put up, like 89 kilos at 24 with the amount of AFL systems he's had, AFL seasons in the system he's had. A little bit of a concern because you really need to put on that size. If you're playing like wing, outside mid, you don't have to, but as a key defender, like most of your involvements in the game are going to be contested, so you need to just have that muscle to be able to hold your own against the powerful bodies at AFL level. That's my back eight. I think Zerk Thatch is probably the first one to miss out, and Hind would be the one on the bench, giving us seven defenders. Rumours of the extra man on the bench coming in, so we'll see how that affects team lineups, but it'll probably go towards an extra midfielder or an extra ruck rather than an extra defender. Key defenders tend to play a large time on ground, so I can't see it being used there. Moving into the midfield, this is probably where Essendon have the most names, although they don't seem to play with much structure or defensive conviction, which comes down to a lot of things, obviously. Disruptions, heaps of disruptions at club level, lots of changing of coaches, and it's hard to get settled when there's so much going on around the club and they don't even know who their senior coach is going to be. But that being said, starting off on the wing, Nick Martin, fantastic debut year, overshadowed by Nick Dacos, but 5 goals on debut in a massive loss. He's a tall wingman. He just makes good decisions. He kicks the ball well, and he looks like he's a real competitor. He's got a bit of fire in him, and I really like that. Merritt, I think, is the other guy who's Essendon's best player in that conversation with Ridley, and looks like he shows leadership, works hard all day in the midfield, fantastic inside and outside mix, just on the smaller side. That's the only thing that is going against Merritt and probably leads to him being a little bit underrated because he doesn't break tackles or take big overhead marks like some of the Dangerfields and Fifes and Cripps can do, but still makes really, really good decisions and kicks the ball really well. So really wasted possession. His defensive intent is awesome. So he's first midfielder picked in this team. On the other wing, I've got McGrath. He's a guy I sort of struggle to find a position with. Could also play across halfback, and he does have the pace to play across halfback. Potentially the next captain in Essendon as well, so could be a natural fit into Heppel's position when Heppel moves on, but I've got him on the wing because I want to have him in the midfield. I want him impacting the game as much as possible. He's a really good player, but I couldn't find a spot for him in the inside mids because they've just got so many of them, and that was packed as it was. McGrath is a guy that can play on the outside, and Essendon don't really have many awesome wingmen or even flankers, to put it a step further, but I think he's a good fit on the wing and hopefully can show some defensive intent, which they're probably going to need going into a season, which it'll be tough. New coach, struggled last year. You can't see them gelling immediately with a new game plan and probably guys playing out of position. So I like him on the wing. Draper took steps again. A lot of the time with these ruckmen, especially young rucks, it's years and years of them showing promise and then it clicks. You just need, same with key defenders, key forwards, as a ruckman, like, pretty much all of your involvements are going to be contested, whether that be ruck contest, you're wrestling, and even if the ball gets to ground level, you're in the stoppage still. So you're going to have to be strong, and that's why it takes so many years. They also have to put on a lot more weight than the mids do. So mids probably have to put on maybe 5 to 8 kilos from when they get drafted, but rucks can have to put on like 15 kilos from the point they're drafted until they get up about 100 kilos and they're able to wrestle all game long. Also building up that fitness base, running from contest to contest. So it requires a lot of physical ability and then also a lot of craft because it's a tough position. You need to learn the nuances. That's why these elder ruckmen, someone like a Max Gawn, Blooming Late, even a Goldstein, who continues to be one of the better rucks in the comp, even though he's getting on, probably doesn't have the athleticism that he did before, but he just has so many years under the belt learning the ruck craft and how to outwork his opponent physically, but also mentally and with his skill set. Parrish have got in there as the other midfielder. The mids, they're a massive talking point at Essendon. I think because they get a lot of the footy in a losing team, and then obviously that brings natural criticism of, well, what are they doing with it? Not sure it's particularly their fault. They do give a few 1-2s. Parrish in particular gives lots of like 1-2 meter handballs, gets the ball, kicks long, doesn't really kick with much direction, but he does win heaps of the footy. He looks like a natural stoppage player. He knows how to get the ball in his hands around stoppage, and that's a skill that not many players have. So I've got him in there for that reason. And then Scheel, he offers that break out the front of stoppage. He averages a lot of center clearances. He's elite for center clearances, which surprised me a little bit looking at it, but envisioning his game, you can kind of see that. Been knocks on his kicking. I don't think that's 100% true, but he's a guy, 29, probably hasn't lived up to the hype coming across from GWS as a lot of guys have, and Essendon have now got a couple of them in their team. Brad Scott's team. Langford I've got as the interchange for the wing. Just kind of a toss-up between him and Ben Hobbs. I like Langford as a forward. He's strong overhead, but I think he's showed a lot on the wing. He's a maturing member of this Essendon team, and I think he's steadily improving. And definitely best 22 at this stage. And you probably need that experience across the midfield in a team that's going to be struggling. You don't want to necessarily have a youngster getting lost on the wing and getting cut up by someone like a Langdon or a Gaff. So I like Langford in this position, and I think he complements Martin well. The taller wings, they can take an overhead mark. They can push forward and kick a goal. And the last midfield spot was tricky. As I mentioned, Hobbs. I've got Hobbs in the forward line. They also brought in Setterfield this year, and he could be contending for this as a taller midfielder that will be able to muscle and get his hands free at stoppage, feed out to one of these guys. So I wouldn't be surprised if he makes his way into the team, but he'll just have to prove himself in the preseason and then a couple of preseason games as well. At this stage, I've got Caldwell in there, along with Merritt, probably the best tackling intent of these Essendon mids. Hasn't really got great opportunity, was injured his first year at the club. So with a full preseason, it'll be interesting to see how he goes. But another smaller midfielder brings me to the forward line. Another mishmash forward line, a little bit like Collingwood's, but Essendon probably don't have the ball movement to make it work that Collingwood did. Perkins, he's one of the guys that I see absolutely as a future star for Essendon. I think they've got a really good player in Archie Perkins, still young, coming into his third year, I think, 2020 draft. So coming into his third season, he's really, really powerful through the hips, does things a couple of times a game that probably no one else on the field can do, but just needs work on his consistency and fitness and a little bit of the field kicking. But he was converting set shots well, can mark strongly overhead, breaks tackles. I think he's a guy that can be one of those really powerful inside mids that can push forward and kick goals as well, and plays with confidence, plays with a surety, and I really like that. Peter Wright, massive breakout year from him. Definitely didn't see this coming, but in a really struggling Essendon team, he was fantastic. Had some huge games too, where he's pushing up the ground, taking marks on the wing, taking big contested marks in the forward line, and he kicks the ball beautifully. Kicks it like 55 metres comfortably too, long legs, lots of leverage through the ball, but he kicks the ball like a much smaller player. Strong hands, and looks like he's got the work rate and the fitness to be a really damaging forward, as well as the height. Like, he's got all the tools. Picked 10, I think, a while back. So it's, really good for him. And probably a guy where he was looked at for a long time, of a player where you're wondering why it hasn't clicked yet, and it did click. Just change of environment, probably getting a bit more confidence. And, it's awesome to see. And a player that Essendon really needed, because they're struggling for key forwards. Next up, Will Snelling. Mature age recruit from 2 or 3 years back now. I just love what he brings as a sort of high half forward. Kind of plays that similar role to Kane Lambert, pushing up the ground, lots of tackling pressure, can link up. He just provides energy, and I think that's what you need sometimes in the forward line. One of those smaller guys that's buzzing around, just provides something, is willing to work hard and then put defensive pressure on. I'll talk about Hobbs now. He's another guy in the same mold as Perkins, same mold as Zach Reed down back, and then Harry Jones, who we'll get to next, but one of the guys that I absolutely see as a future star of Essendon. And I think with a couple more years, he will be one of the first midfielders picked, because he's probably more a complete player than like Scheel and Parrish. He's got the defensive side to his game. He's got the offensive side. He can spread well. He's a really good tackler, really good at getting the handball out. Just tough. He's awesome sort of leadership through actions, which is invaluable at AFL level. Any level of footy, really. Any level of life, really, but I digress, yeah. Harry Jones, another guy who shows a lot of potential. Once again, doesn't really have the contested side of his game, but he's super agile, especially for a guy the size that he is. We're seeing this trend come through. Key forwards probably 10, 15 years ago used to be sort of mechanical, looked like they didn't really have much flexibility in their limbs, lead out or push off, like Tom Hawkins plays, basically. Harry Mackay plays in a similar way. Now we're seeing these key forwards that play like smaller forwards, but they're 195, 200 centimetres. They're kicking goals over their shoulder with snaps. They're crumbing ground balls really cleanly. Jones is another guy like that, but he's shown he is able to take a flying mark. Probably when he doesn't get all the body contact that defenders want to have on him, he's able to jump and take the footy. But another guy, 88 kilos, is a key forward, isn't going to cut it. So he's going to have to put in the work in the gym. But with that agility, athleticism, he will be able to impact and beat his opponent in that side of the game. Got Jake Stringer at full forward because I think he probably presents more strongly than Jones does at this stage of his career. And the midfield looks pretty full. He'll go for stints in the midfield and then probably push forward. Yeah, it's become a cliche now, but Dustin Martin role. He is a genuine match winner and a player that has put Essendon on his back in multiple games and turned the game on its head. Can win a massive contested footy, spin around, kick a goal. He's not afraid to take shots at goal and he kicks the ball really well. Has got power through the hips. Similar to Perkins, but he's just more progressed in his career, so he's able to deliver more consistently. He's got that body of work in the gym down, and even though he's had his issues with injury, when he gets on the park, he's one of the better players in the AFL. And then Matt Guelfi, this is a position that was probably one of the last picked, but he had a good finish to the year, finished third in their best and fairest, so you've got to reward something like that. He's obviously turned a little bit of a corner in his development, and I think he can provide that pressure up forward, maybe even pushing up to the wing. He could potentially be swapping with Langford, playing a bit on the wing, but I like him as a forward and offers a little bit more pace at ground level. And then lastly, I've got Wiedemann. I think him and Zerk Thatcher are the two that will drop out of this team with four on the bench, with five on the bench. I think Wiedemann might be the first to go, although, Stringer is a bit of an undersized forward, and if Stringer's pushing into the midfield and Wright's playing that second ruck role, which he will have to do in this team, Wiedemann could get a go just as that big target down the line. 97 kilos, so he has had the pre-seasons under his belt to develop that size. It's just whether he can actually bring sort of the mental intent to offer that physicality. Be interesting to see how he goes. Another high draft pick. You see these trades a lot of the time. High draft pick, had many years in the season. System, it hasn't quite clicked yet, and they get traded for next to nothing to a new club just to see if you can re-spark their career and get something moving. That being said, I think Essendon had a pretty quiet trade period, but they kept their pick four, which I think is really important at the stage, development stage that they're at. They'll get in a really good player with pick four and just look to sort of assess where they're at. They're going through big reviews off field, brought in a new coach. So I think this season will be a year of trying guys in new positions, trying to map out what their future looks like. Give Hobbs a go in the midfield, Perkins a go in the midfield, give Reed and Zerk Thatcher a go playing fullback on the best forwards in the game, just to see where they're at and see where the list is at on the whole. Wouldn't be expecting much from them, but they're a team that shows when they're on mentally and their attitude's right, they can compete because they've got these experienced guys through the midfield and their best and their worst has a massive gap, though. So that's something that Brad Scott will be looking to address. Overall, really interesting season coming up for Essendon and lots of opportunities for players with a new coach. Thanks for listening. I'll see you next time.